Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Big Brother Specialists are back, and we are here to talk about our top five Big Brother players. We each kind of took this a different spin than each other. I did top five that I like to watch. Blake did his top five, like, best.
Or like people that if you put them on a season, they're going to make it to the end and make you pay.
Yeah, so we do have a bunch of overlap, but I have definitely a wild card in there.
Oh, wild card. Well, I mean, let's not even pretend to mince words. I'll just go and I'll get to talk about the same person I talked about last time a whole bunch, but my number five is Danielle Reyes from Big Brother 3, Big Brother 7, Big Brother Reindeer Games. Ever heard Queen. Of it? About to be on the Traitors. I think she's somebody where, like, do you technically count her as she won already? That's something where it's like, maybe
will you think maybe she's the Saree of Big Brother?
I think so, of the idea of, like, not that she's can't win competitions, but like Ceree's the Ceree of Big Brother at this point because
Don't I even forget.
She did 100 days or 86 days in the Big Brother house.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, it's something where Danielle is going to be on a show and you're going to have to either be with her because she's going to be a major obstacle if you're against her. Because she really didn't have much leeway or power in that Big Brother All-Stars house and still made it to Final Six.
Yeah.
And she was positioned where it was like, it's me, Chicken George, and then the Dominant Alliance. So, like, she's going to be the person who holds on the longest. She's going to be the person who squirms her way through. And, like, then you did see her from a power position in Big Brother 3. I think that's something, like, maybe, like, can you squirm and can you play from the top? Are kind of the two things you need to do in Big Brother very well to, like, get further always, maybe not be seen as a threat. And like when you're up against somebody on the block, you squirm. When you're HOH, you don't want to play from the top and like play badly from the top where you're the target next time. And I think Danielle can do both of those extremely well. I'm not going to say both, all these people do these extremely well, but those are the ones that come up in my mind for her of she's just somebody that I'm excited to see this on Traders. So this is relevant. Mm-hmm. Like on the Traders, what you're going to see her do is probably align and try to do the strategy of like the Traders aren't bad people. They're the ones who can keep me alive. I'll get them at the end.
Right.
And she's somebody who like from going like this on TV in 2002 to playing a Trader in 2025 when it finally airs, that 23-year turnaround of narrative from like that's what bringing these old all-stars, not old, bringing these vintage all-star players.
Is that even better?
Yeah, I don't know. It's something where like those are stories that you can like, thank God Peacock exists because maybe there's not going to be 17 more seasons of Big Brother all-stars because it's a bigger thing or whatever. But like, I would watch Danielle play hopscotch against her kids. Her kids are probably 27 now, but like, like I would watch Danielle do anything competitive. It was interesting to see her get got. What are we saying? Get got technically in Ranger Games because she got seven.
It wasn't though. Xavier got her out.
It was dumb.
Because Xavier sent in Brittany and Xavier was like, I was just trying to save Danielle. I'm sorry. And then Brittany's like, well, I can't get you, so I'm going to get Danielle.
Right.
So it's like she was even collateral damage in that where she didn't do anything on her own merit.
And I think
get out.
And like one thing you could maybe say with her is like she builds alliances and they like ride or die for her.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time they didn't was like Xavier saying the wrong thing. And right. I don't think that's Xavier saving himself. I think that's a misplay by him that leads her to go home. 100%. And we are going to be talking about Ranger Games more. Get excited. It's one of the best seasons of Big Brother in the last 5 years.
Yeah. Ranger Games is fun.
Yeah. Who's your number five?
My number five is the wild card here because I think he's insanely fun to watch. It's Zach Rantz. Whenever he's on a season, it just like, or on the season that he was on, he just like basically blew it up. You kind of never knew what you were gonna get from him. He was loyal, then all of a sudden you say one thing wrong and he could pop off. So I just think his confessionals were hilarious. The like pink hat motif that he had, the Gators shirt that he always wore. I just think him as a character is so fun to have on my TV that I would want to have him on more seasons.
The fact that he's a big brother playing big brother. Don't forget that. I think he was pretty compelling to watch because I believe he's now bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe when going in the house, he was not bisexual in his mind. So that was a layer of watching someone do some self-discovery as whether you're a a 15-year-old gay kid watching this, or you're a 22-year-old gay kid watching this, or you're a 27-year-old, I've been gay for 5 years. I think that was a thing where it's like, whether you love Frankie or you hate Frankie, like him being like, Frankie, get over here, let's cut, or whatever he said. Yeah, that was weird. I don't think that's what he said.
Frankie, get over here.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't even like that I put that out there.
All right, we'll clip that.
It was interesting to watch somebody do some self-discovery, but also like, I think one thing I do appreciate from people that realize they're on Big Brother and it's a TV show is when they ask people like, what is the most outlandish thing I could say in this like veto meeting, or can I yell at our people
Dingus?
We don't like? Yeah. And like Fruit Loop Dingus is one of the most like, not iconic, we don't want to say that, but like, The catchphrases from the show that would probably be used for 5 years. Why has he never been back on the show? Well, maybe that's something we'll never know. Or deep dive with Frankie one day, deep dive with Zach one day. Because I don't know if we're going to deep dive. But like, it's something where Zach should have, could have been on our screens 5 more times. I think he is somebody who probably didn't get out of the way and probably was like, if you really want me that bad, why don't we move my appearance fee to $10,000 more? And like, as soon as somebody does that, you're just like,
I was reading that he was almost on War of the Worlds 2, but then he got bumped to an alternate. And then once he was bumped to an alternate, he wanted to have a sure shot, so he just removed himself from the list.
Which is like,
that's the only other show that I read that.
And like, when he comes on the next season of a show, are we going to get the fun and effervescent 23 to 25 year old? I don't remember how old he was. He could not have been more than 25. But like, are we going to get that version? Or are we going to get, that was 10 years ago almost. That's 9 years ago. I'm in my 30s or something. And like, it's just something where, has that ship sailed? Is it always going to be sad? Is it always going to be a what if? And I think he's the biggest Big Brother what if of why they never came back.
Yeah. So
he could have been on Reindeer Games. Come on.
Oh my God. Imagine Zanky on Reindeer Games instead of Cody and Frankie.
Oh my God. Thank God. I can't imagine that. Okay. Number four for me, I think you would get murdered if you don't mention him top five, but it's not my favorite thing to do. Derek from Big Brother 16, we'll keep staying here. He probably played, I would say the most dominant game in Big Brother history. We touched on it a little bit last week of like, from legitimately week three of that season, it was honestly Derek or Hayden. Which is interesting. Why do you not have Hayden in your list if you do have Derek? Because they played the same game. Derek maybe was managing crazier personalities. So that's probably why he gets the nod. And he is in the thought process of, damn, it is. What am I saying? I literally looking at chat at the same time threw me off. It's like, damn, he did it with 6 people in his alliance instead of 4 with the brigade. I think Brigade would even had like, they had to like, maybe Rachel was going to take him down, but like it was complete dominance from the beginning. And I don't know if you go, well, Big Brother 16, who would have opposed him? But like at any point, if there had been an HOH win on the other side, if Nicole had won, I don't think Derek hits that block ever. Mm-hmm. He's somebody that made it to the very end. I think he gets docked a couple points on my list because he's never come back. I think there's the idea of I don't have to come back because I would be ganged up on. And I don't like that energy of like when you've seen other people come back and do well, you can't say like, well, I don't want to come back because I'd just be targeted. It's like, come back and get your 10th place. Come back and get your 8th place. Come back and get your 4th place. Like, just like everyone else, if you want to be the legend that you are. I do think some people will kind of say like, Well, Cody played his second game for him, and Cody won using the Derek strategy. Do you have that as an extension of Cody or an extension of Derek? I just don't ever really want to think about Big Brother 22 at all. So,
I mean, valid.
At all.
I have Derek a bit higher. He's at my number two. Basically echoing what you said, I think he played an amazing game, always dominant, probably would have never touched the block. And I think it would be interesting maybe in a few seasons, he's waiting out the timeline of he's still hot gossip. Maybe once he dies down a little bit, then, you know, they might invite him back or something like that, and then he'll take it up so people aren't as up on his win yet anymore.
And somebody in the chat said Big Brother 16 was 10 years ago, starting in June. So starting in June, that's 5 days from now.
Yeah.
What the hell? Like that's a thing where you're like, that makes sense, because 10 years ago, I know what house I was living in LA, and that was the season I was watching that summer. But Derek, why have you not done anything in 10 years?
Yeah.
Oh, I was trying to get my career as a host for a cop show doing this. Maybe cops aren't the best profession to say in front of a group of people that you want to give me money for about 4 years in our society. And maybe that's a layer of this. And maybe it was I was hanging out with Cody. I know there's always some weird stuff about what did Derek's dad do for, and you're just that's a rabbit hole. I don't know. I don't know if our fan base is going to be a fan base that looks at every Twitter thread and pulls the string and goes and listens to every single person or whatever. But it is a rabbit hole if you're interested in going. Somebody said Derek would be first or fourth to go if he came back, and BB would be shelling out more money. He would have to be all winners. Are we ever going to get a all winner season of Big Brother? I think that would be a disaster, because some of the winners are so bad. Some of the winners are I don't know. It's do we need Steve versus Paul versus because we had some of that on our reindeer games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think how Big Brother kind of operates is, it'd be cool if they had reindeer games, Halloween games, St. Patrick's games. Why did they not do that this time? Or the Olympics are about to happen, go right Olympic up against games. Big Brother. Or something. His daughter asked him not to do Big Brother again or whatever from this. That's something where it's I don't have a daughter. But come on, get in the show. sorry, girly. I gotta go.
You can still see daddy just on TV. Come on now.
Derek is somebody you have to mention, but he is not in the I love this person, I can't wait for them to come back. I think all the stuff that could, this is such a bad analogy that it's not even worth saying. I don't know. This is bad or whatever, but when there's basically a model. She was 60 something years old, and she was talking about how women's beauty standards is so bad, but it's she's a model that did all those beauty standards when she was younger. But now that she's older and kind of aged out of it, she's you shouldn't worry about beauty. And that's kind of what I feel about Derek, of if we don't want to wait until you're nobody cares for you to come back. Derek, you needed to play within 5 years and go on a spinoff or do something or force yourself onto one of these other shows. So I could see you like even Frankie went and did Big Brother UK celeb.
Yeah.
Where it's you could have been the American representative on a Big Brother Canada season and been even if I get last place on that, I am
Do you think we see Derek on the Canadian. Players?
And that would be kind of cool. It would have been cool 8 years ago if Traders was 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like now there's more opportunities. But I think all the people that went on the Traders so far, besides spoilers or whatever, Carolyn is a brand new contestant. That Carolyn was amazing on that season and now going to go do Traders. But like everyone else that did Traders, Tony's been on three seasons and took the bump and came back and won a second time. Jeremy has been on multiple seasons, like three. So we know what Jeremy does. Rob, we don't even have to mention Rob. Sheree did all the seasons she did. Stephanie LaGrossa did all the seasons she did. Rachel did all the seasons she did. Janelle, Sandra, obviously. Dan, obviously. Everyone that's been on the Traders, we have multiple instances of them.
Yeah.
Besides Carolyn, and Carolyn's brand new. So like Derek, Derek's not even watching. Derek has a podcast. Like that's what he's focused on.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's just interesting of, I'm going to be the guy speaking of knowledge when you kind of won the season equivalent to Kim Spradlin on One World. And like, I would love Kim Spradlin's advice for my Survivor season, but it's not going to work on most Survivor seasons because there's going to be 15 smart people most seasons, just not ours, you know?
Right, exactly. Well, my number four is Dr. Will. I think he obviously is another one of those most dominant game players within Big Brother, but he also brings really great confessionals and really great behind the scenes for the audience, as well as like great gameplay, which I really appreciate, that he's not just, you know, robotic about it. And he's just a really fun, lighthearted villain that you love to root for.
True. That's why I have him as numero uno. It's something where I think everything I said about Derek that was like the, I don't want to say white bread, I don't want to say milk toast, but Derek did everything the right way. I think Dr. Will plays a game that only he can possibly play. And that is so much more interesting to me, to carve out your own thing instead of like, let's have everyone align with specific people. Come to me if anything goes awry. Like Dr. Will say to your face, you look like shit today, bud. And you're like somebody who like, I hope you win HOH and put me up, because if you don't, I'm going to beat you. Is just something that's so, I think the vibe of the show, and like, that's what carved Big Brother into being like, this is the show where there's going to be fights in the kitchen over a birthday cake instead of a shake your hand, good job, thanks for coming. I think the other thing that's like, I'm talking about Dr. Will, but I'm talking about what Big Brother means to me again, is like, Dr. Will is probably one of the most annoying roommates you could possibly have, because he's like the hot guy that everyone's like, okay, yeah, whatever, dude. And I could just imagine being there like steaming of like, we got to get him out. And like literally coming back 5 years later and like aligning with who he did, Janelle, like instead of seeing Janelle as an obstacle, like, let me do a showmance, whether it's real or not. Like, is it like blending that part of Shannon? I have a showmance kind of, for everything we say negative about showmance, Dr. Will was in two of them technically.
Yeah.
So you're like, he's played that layer of the game super well. He's played the, my target is too big. So Sandra is Survivor. Gotcha. Survivor. But her strategy is, anyone but me, that's how you play Survivor. How do you play Big Brother if you're Dr. Will or someone like Dr. Will? Make my target too big that everyone wants to take me to the end, because then when it gets to the nitty gritty, I'll go home at like fourth or third.
Mm-hmm.
And so that strategy works completely if he has one more conversation with Janelle at Final Four and like just got so cocky. Kind of what I love. Like, I get cocky walking down the stairs and I bust ass on the stairs. It's like, why are you skipping down the stairs, Blake? You should be, You got bad knees. Walk slowly. But I like watching people be cocky and stuff that I could imagine being cocky. If I got in the Big Brother house, not that I'm ever going to apply or ever be allowed in there, I think I would be talking a big game and be cocky in my mind. But actually, as soon as Jasmine won, I keep using Jasmine and there's an actual Jasmine, so I have to find a new name. As soon as a person named Alejandro won HOH and I wasn't on their team, I'd be like, yes, Alejandro. Of course, Alejandro. This is my dream. I don't want to go home the second time. But it's something where Dr. Will doesn't give a shit about Alejandro. He'll be like, Alejandro, I know you're HOH, but it doesn't look like it. It looks like we're running the house. And you're just like, don't say that. But like everyone that's on his team is like, oh, that's just how Will works. And I think watching Big Brother 2, if you ever do it, there's not vetoes to save you. Mm-hmm. There's literally nothing that can save you if somebody wants you gone and five people agree to it.
Yeah.
If four people agree, three people agree to it.
Yeah.
The fact that nobody wanted him dead to rights and got support in that is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was annoying and whatever. Whatever Will's energy is it fun to be around? Probably. And I think that's something where like the stuff he's doing socially is unpodcastable, because we don't like there's certain winners of Big Brother or Survivor where you're like, how did they win? How did they lose? And it's the social aura they bring to every minute of the day. And I would say that Dr. Will's social aura is uncomparable. Like, he has the best social aura of any Survivor, Big Brother, CBS contestant ever.
Here's a question for you. If a player like Dr. Will ever plays in BB26, could they be as successful as he is?
I hope that happens. I mean, who's the most like Dr. Will? Like, it's something where it's like, if they play like him, I think there's so much, like, now we have Twitter. Now we have, like, if I go on a reality show, what matters more to me? The $750,000 after 100 days? Or I don't want to look like a fool.
Right.
Because $750,000 is something that I could earn potentially over 20 years of, hopefully it's 10 years, hopefully it's 5 years of earn. Like, when you have good jobs, you can make that money. But my online reputation or me looking like an idiot, like some of these people that look like an idiot, that's their persona. Like the next 15 times you go to a grocery store every month, somebody's going to go, you should have put up Alejandro, you idiot. I'm sure I talked to Kalia once in person and I said something about Big Brother and she looked so mad. And it's like, would she rather have $750,000 or not have people come up and talk to her in Big Brother or whatever? I think other people wouldn't want to get Dr. Will'd so bad. They would just get rid of the Dr. Will clone on week three of like, nice try. I see what you're doing and you're not going to make us look bad for 6 months. And it would be like, oh, nice try. Like, and people would be like, we want this person on All Stars forever. The fans would love it. Mm-hmm. The charisma is the most important. I believe that. That's the social aura I'm talking about. It's charisma. There you go. We got there. But somebody playing that game now, I think, would get targeted and eliminated because we don't want egg on our face in our 2024 brains.
And we were talking about, you know, Derek not coming back. Will has also, we haven't seen him in a good while, but he like hosts the round table for Big Brother, makes appearances as the next door neighbor. Even came on the Traders for what reason? No reason. But right. Like, he's still like in our sphere. So we're still like, he's still relevant and still talked about and everything like that too.
I mean, he's so dreamy. He was on an episode of being a plastic surgeon. I think that's such a funny job too, to be one of the best ones of like, you don't think I can be fake? I put fake into people's faces. Like, is like amazing.
Yeah. Like,
the fact that that was I don't know what he was in Big Brother 2, but like I think it was a lower career, and then like that was it by 7, and then like is part of her persona forever is amazing. So like, I would watch Dr. Will legitimately do anything. Like I think what's funny is we have older generations than us probably would do anything to watch Diana Ross or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, is that my version of Diana Ross? Is like
Dr. If Will.
Dr. Will ever goes on a tribute tour or hits all the Walmarts in Lower Mississippi, it's like, I guess I'm flying in. Like, I gotta do it. But I think Dr. Will's also funny because maybe he doesn't really like that energy and likes being like, oh, let's take a step back or whatever. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know if anybody relishes in the Big Brother sphere, because the Big Brother fans as a whole are probably some of the most scary of all time. Like, I'm sure my life will be ruined in about 3 months. So we're just here. We're just here to do it.
Who do you have at number 4?
Okay. Yeah, that was a long-winded, because he was my number 1. So
yes. Yeah.
Number 4 was Derek, so I talked about him.
Oh, okay.
So who's your number 4?
My number 4 was Dr. Will. My number 3 is Nicole Franzel.
Cool. So you talk about Nicole first. And then
I like that she played like the underestimated kind of game. She came in as a returning player, and then she was kind of more known for like the showmance of BB16, and then when she came into 18, it was like she wasn't as big of a threat as maybe some other people were. They had gone longer in the game and whatnot. So her partnering up with Cody, who is perceived as like a bigger threat than her because he's like the all-American competition kind of threat, and just kind of moving her way along to winning that season and then coming on Reindeer Games and winning another season there. I've also watched her on The Amazing Race, and she was hilarious with Victor there. So I think just like her story arc is fun to watch, and I just like her as a character too.
So I am echoing all of this, and I bumped her to number 2 over, we'll just say who my 3 is. I'm sure your 2 or your 1 or is Dan. So I'm putting Nicole over Dan. I am actually taking Reindeer Games as the tiebreaker / bumper.
Yeah, like, Reindeer Games.
Like, that's what I'm trying to say about Nicole Franzel is like, everything I'm trying to also like be negative about Derek if he never came back. Like, Nicole didn't win her first season. And Derek did, and she was maybe Derek's only shot at like some opposition. And okay, but she comes back for another season, and she kind of uses some game plan and like beats Paul. Is Paul the best final 2 person to go against of all time? And you barely squeaked him. No, he's pretty bad at talking about his game, and maybe he did a lot of this stuff. But like, then she goes and does Big Brother 22. I heard about it. I stopped watching after Janelle and Kacer went, because I was just so pissed that like I can't have anything good and I have to watch Enzo. For just kidding, Enzo's great. but like, she got something place, first place,
it was like
third place, and then Reindeer Games win.
She was 6th, I think, in 16.
God, she got that. She was the last one.
She got like pretty far in 16.
Because we got someone saying she's not that great of a player. Here's what she does better than anyone, and this is how you do well in Big Brother. She never got blamed for any fight ever, and she was a root cause for like 15 of them. And like, as Davon is yelling at Frank over your shoulder, it's Nicole that you should be mad about. As all these people are yelling and what And she just turns on the oobly and goes, oh, that's not what I meant at all. And like, I can't really do that. But like, I think there's the idea of what you think is not that great a player. And there's that sentence. That's whatever. Let's be real. I think that is a strategy that is viable. Mm-hmm. And her playing that strategy is when you go in a strongman competition, but you're not as strong as other ones, you need to start stepping on feet. And like, she's a foot stepper. She's a line stepper. She's like somebody who's pushing, but like, oh no, that wasn't me. Like, and she gets away with it all the time. And at a certain point, people should go like, are you kidding me? Like, how are we not all realizing it's Nicole? And she's super good social. I remember there was one time she's like doing the Gatorade bottle after there was a big fight. Like, Paul came out of a confessional and was like, what the hell, Nicole? And everyone was like, whoa, don't get after Nicole. And like, I think there's something about when you're playing Big Brother, how much of it is strategy? Because there's only a couple decisions a week and then there's a vote. So it's, can I trick? Can I influence? Can I demand things from the HOH? Who won veto? Are they saving themselves or not? And then can we vote or not? And like, I think Nicole is super good at always being on the right side of those three things.
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know, we can't really go after Nicole because she's friends with 15 people. I think her winning game of her winning the first HOH because Glenn gets coconutted and she only has two people on her team, and like, she's just trying to look for new allies and like, how can we build a team, is one of the best first HOHs of the game, like of all time. If you're about to go in the Big Brother house and you're watching random content, go watch that first week of how does she build a group. And like, for everything we're saying that's like, oh, it's super negative that nobody ever figures her out or finds her out, I think that's actual literal work going in from Nicole at all times. And I don't think Nicole knows how good she is at those things. So she would even go, no, that wasn't my intent. But like, I can't even do the Nicole voice. But like, it is something where, how does she win our favorite season ever, Reindeer Games? It's like, she's up against Josh. The other thing she can do, which we haven't mentioned really, she can physically go out there and win a random competition that slams the door on somebody that's trying to get.
She pulled three upsets that during Reindeer Games.
Right. And like, on her season, I know she didn't win much on 22 because that was like literally three different people passing around HOHs, but all of them were on her team. And like, I think maybe what she's known recently, if you watched every single thing besides Ranger Games, is her crying at Final Three of like, no, Cody, don't do this to me. And like, that's, she's one decision away there from, if she can pull the heartstrings on Cody enough, she's a two-time winner before Reindeer Games.
Right.
Because I don't know. I don't even care to know of like, how would the final vote go between Cody and Nicole, because I legitimately stopped watching that season. But it is something, because it was literally the first COVID year. Like, we had to do what we had to do. And I'm not gonna go back. It doesn't seem like a rewatchable season, but it is something where she almost won that because people like her. People, oh no, not my poor sweet innocent Nicole. And she's doing the work to do the socialness about that. I don't know if we call that charisma. Mm-hmm. I think some of that could call like, I'm the baby sheep, not the snake. And she is the sheep in wolf's clothing. Wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yep.
Sheep in wolf's clothing would be double negative. There's been some sheeps in wolf clothing on Big Brother. Maybe that's a good one of these. But Nicole is by far, who are you going to pick to go far in a Big Brother season, if you want to put money on it, I'd pick Nicole Franzel.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So you already mentioned your number three is Dan.
Yes.
All right.
He's your number one.
He is not my number one. I haven't seen a season with Dan, so I don't think I can
comment
on it.
Oh my God, I assumed. So Dan, for me, let me get Dan out of the way. Dan is number three. So we went all over the place. Y'all figure it out. Maybe I'll put it in chat. But Dan is extremely good. But I'm a Dan hater more than a Dan lover. Because, like, as much as I love, like, watching season 10, Dan winning is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, when 14 came around, it's not that I'm anti-Dan. It's that I was like, I like Boogie because Boogie's from 7. I don't like Boogie now. Or what? Like, good Lord, go look at all that stuff and why you can't like Boogie now. But I was like, Boogie's cool. Oh, Frank's not that season.
Yeah.
He's that season. That's his first time. Gotcha. Yes, yes, yes. We are making the same stuff. Because it's... And Janelle.
And Brittany.
And like, Janelle is my diehard. And, like, Dan gets one up on Janelle. Boogie gets up one on... But Boogie gets got by Dan. And it's like, I'm bitter because Dan gets everyone. But, like, Dan doing Dan's funeral, that's... There's nothing that we could say that you haven't heard from someone else. I don't know if you're looking from him. Do you actually know about Dan's funeral or not? But it was like just a way of he was dead to rights. The veto's already been done. He's going to go home. We're finally going to get Dan out and he gets his way out of it. And that's one of the most electric 3 days in Big Brother history.
One thing I do have to say about Dan's funeral is one of my friends / fellow podcaster, John Millsap, he tried to do that in a Survivor game. He did let's gather the tribe together. And I'm going to say why everyone else is better than me, because he was kind of a dead man walking. It didn't work, but he tried. He was like, this is my last ditch effort and I'm going to pull a Dan's funeral. So it ricochets from Big Brother into maybe a Survivor game. So this mechanic of boosting other people and throwing under other people maybe under the bus is a mechanic that can be used in other games as well. So he kind of created a game thing that you can use in other forms.
But nobody can do it as good as Dan.
No.
that's the next layer of that. And I think one thing that Dan is better at is playing from the absolute bottom, because he almost went home in week one of 10. And now he's seen as a weaker player now we need to focus on some threats. And now the threats are gone and Dan's still around, but now we need Dan to be on our team to make it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And now Dan's in the final five with his team that he's curated. And now it's we could go to the end. And that's how he wins 10. And then fast forward to 14, Jody goes the first night. Rest in peace, Jody, of first elimination. So sad. But now Dan's team starting with just Dan gets it in this way. We just mentioned Nicole. My first teammate goes early, and these team ones, it's so easy to have that be Jordan's. Oh my God, Jordan, a beauty goes home first, right? Or was Brayden an offbeat or a beauty? I think Brayden was the guy beauty. Screw that guy. But it was whatchamacallit, not whatchamacallit. Let's say what we're saying. So Dan using the underdog status in 14, even though he's one of the best in the game, is crazy that they let him do that. Mm-hmm. And Dan loses Jody, Dan loses JoJo, and now he has only one teammate left with Danielle. Or was it JoJo? I'm going to look up. I don't want to screw this up. Big Brother 14. We're taking the time here. He only has Danielle left at a pivotal vote. And if they vote out Danielle, then he's gone too.
Den had Kara.
Kara goes home first. JoJo was on team somebody else. Thank you for reminding me. So Jody and Kara are literally back-to-back toast. And in week three, the third time, that's why it was like, oh, it's JoJo. JoJo was the one that stays. JoJo is the one that goes over Danielle. So in week three, they have if we vote this third person out, we can get out Dan too. And I remember being like, damn, that sucks, because we're going to lose Dan 3 weeks in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if there's some revisionist history, but it is kind of like a smart team would eliminate Dan by getting rid of Danielle. Yeah. And maybe Danielle's playing as well of like, oh, she's such a sweetheart. Danielle Murphy. Oh my gosh. So fun. And that helps. But like playing from the bottom that much and getting through, and now we're eliminating the other coaches, and now Quackpack. Is Quackpack this season? Quackpack's this season.
Quackpack and Dan's
Ian, we're working together, Quackpack. And like Quackpack's such a crazy, like, what are we talking about? And like Quackpack, and I think there was we're flying so close to the sun. I have so much blood on my hands. That's part of my thing. I literally, the fact what he does to Shane is like, it's mind blowing. Like, I don't know if Danielle can trust men that look like Dan for the rest of her life. I wouldn't. And like when it's like, don't worry, I'll get rid of Ian for you. Just put me in the voting chair. That way I don't go home. We can do this together. And then 17 seconds later, he goes, bye, Shane. And like Danielle is like in her immediately crying. And it's like, don't worry, we'll talk about it, is one of the most cold-blooded things. And like, I think Ian was a good enough player where people could choke down voting for him. Choke down's probably rude in this scenario, but like, if you have students of the game, lovers of the game, Dan wins the next season. But he also, it's probably harder and they probably get rid of him earlier.
Mm.
So Dan's flaw for season two of that, and now that we've seen on the Traitors, is Dan plays a very specific way that behooves him and he thinks everyone should play, but like forgets kind of like, oh, I should have been appealing to these people socially, or like, been closer with them or whatever, where it was like beating Memphis was a no-brainer because like, oh, we never really liked Memphis and you did all the stuff. Sure, Dan, you win. But like that didn't work on the second season, or like people were okay with voting Dan out of Traitors because not that we're a Traitors podcast, but like you got to do the extra steps.
But the specialist.
Oh my goodness. Come back for specialist season three. So who is your number one then? If it's not Dan, if it's not Derek, if it's not.
I don't know if you remember the thumbnail, but it's Tyler.
Oh, shoot.
Again,
the thumbnail, Blake.
I'm coming from a very recent Big Brother history, so I don't have a lot of background on Dan. Like, I've seen a bunch of clips. I've been trying to study as best as I can for like each of these kind of podcasts, because I know Blake is going to go historic Big Brother on me. But Tyler played a game that I would want to play in Big Brother 20, and I just really like the style of game that he played, where he was in the middle for a lot of it, never really in power, but had influence over the people in power and like won crucial competitions that he needed to. So I just feel like I really resonate with the way he played the game, and so that's why I have it a little bit higher. It was also like one of the first good seasons I watched where I was like really invested in it, because it was the second season that I watched live, so I was like actually wanting to like go and see the next episode and wait, you know, until the next airing instead of just binging, you know, oops, I missed a week. So I just really like the way Tyler played.
Tyler is good. I like Tyler. I was somebody who I added him for the Kevin Hart show. So I'm part of the reason. I'm part of the reason. I don't know if I should say that, but I'm not part of the reason. I am part of the reason. let's make it at least a little murky that he got on. Tyler is good. I like Tyler. I think he played a very good game in 20. I heard about his game in 22. I think he's somebody that when we're looking for Big Brother players that like everything we love about Dan that I said is a negative. Tyler doesn't have that. Mm-hmm. Tyler has the positive of I do care about the people that are in my cast. But it's almost detrimental at a certain point because it's like, Tyler, if you bury this person real quick in a conversation, they'll go home and you won't have to deliberate for 2 days. But he's kind of like, oh, well, it's nice to talk to you. Like, I know that happened on 22 of like thinking too much about the outside world of like, what is my perception mm-hmm. for this season? What am I going to be seen at? What am I going to be looked at here? And it's interesting too of like Tyler finds Angela not on day 3 to be in a showmance, like build such a good relationship with his alliance that like one of them's like, maybe I didn't find him attractive 5 weeks ago, but now it's like, this is my boyfriend or whatever. I think is another testament to who he is as a person. And like, I don't know, like if Tyler's on a season of Big Brother, I think if we could give him pointers, he would do extremely well. And I don't know if we mean we as in the Big Brother community or like, hey, before you go in there, remember some people are lying to you. Like, just keep that in mind. Like, not, like,
yeah,
people are hoping you let their guard down so you keep them in instead of stomping on them. And just go ahead and stomp on 3 people this season. Use those 3 people you stomped on as your final tribal council. I'm going to keep saying final tribal council. use that as your final tribal council thing. And people go, holy crap. Because like you're going to be staring at those people. Like I think the saddest, not saddest I've ever been. That's kind of sad. But like the Casey versus Tyler final tribal council for Big Brother 20 is I was excited for it. Tyler's going to win. What a great season. And then it's kind of like, he's not really explaining himself well. Mm-hmm. And then some people are like, great job, Casey. And he's kind of taking that to heart. And instead of having that killer instinct of like, I know you guys maybe prefer Casey right now, but let me tell you why that's kind of hilarious. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, I would never talk about my best friend Casey like that. It's like, do you want this 500 grand or not? Because that's why you signed up here. That's why you're in that house. That's why you put your body on the line. That's why you put your mind on the line. That's why you're putting your reputation on the line. Like, and that's a balance that Angela brought to him of this is the killer instinct. I know we mentioned this the other day, but like, we need you to own your moves, own the people you owned, and put Casey one notch lower than you or everyone's going to vote for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it is frustrating that he didn't win his season. But I think just like I have Danielle on mine, you have Tyler on yours, but like, it's like you had to be happy for Casey because she was part of the alliance too. So it was just a rare, very weird, like I remember being like, damn, what an amazing season. But I wish for now the 3rd season in a row, like, Paul should have maybe beat Nicole in my mind. And I know we just said Nicole's better, but because we're dealing with results, we're results based here. I think Paul should have beat Josh. Well, then Blake, why is Paul not in your top 5? We'll see. We're complex. People are complex. And like watching Tyler lose, it's 3 seasons in a row of somebody who I think was less deserving won. Is kind of like, damn, when are we going to get a jury that realizes this is a game and like who played the best can be more than just like who made me feel at peace whenever I went home?
Yeah. I think what I put Tyler so high also is like, I struggle when I play games with the, oh, but I really like them, or I don't want them mad at me if I go the wrong way or something like that. So like with him kind of struggling with the cutthroat aspect of it, or maybe not articulating himself the best, it like, I understand that, and it's like, I feel that. So it's like, if he can get that far in doing something with like a strategy that I feel like I would play, that like bumps higher in my eyes. Also, again, limited pool.
True. So that's our top fives.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know what you think in the comments. Like and subscribe. Don't forget.
Oh my gosh. Please don't let us know what you think in the comments.
Please rip Blake.
Please only comment on Blake's. We all know my top five is a little.
We're definitely bringing back Zach Rants as soon as possible in our fan cast at all times. We do have some cool stuff on the horizon, so come back next Thursday. But overall, once again, here's another hour of a glimpse into our mind of when this cast does get revealed. Who are we going to be drawn to?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be some of the nerdy people. It's going to be some of the like diabolical. Like I don't watch Big Brother for true love. I watch Big Brother for diabolical shit that happens.
It's because people. All the true love is straight, pretty much, Blake, except for Zangy.
Yeah. All the villains are queer coded, and that's what we're gonna be doing. Just like 90s Disney movies where every villain is queer coded, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Have you gone down that rabbit hole too? There's rabbit holes. Get in a rabbit hole between now and next week.
All right, comment your favorite rabbit hole instead.
Yes. And if you want to pick apart the other list, just DM me and we'll be fine.
Alrighty, everyone. We will see you next week. Goodbye.